Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries and great folks everywhere. In the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. Just want to give you all a very quick teaser for the guest today. Major General Paul Valley is going to be on. We're going to be talking about all this whole hour, what is happening in the world, and a lot of things you have not heard in the media. Some you have, but a lot of you have not heard in the media, and what our enemies are doing encircling us around the globe. And it's important, it's important if you have the opportunity to take notes, I would do that. If you have the opportunity to share this with your friends and family, do it, because there's not a lot of people talking about these things. And I've got a couple new news sources, one in particular that I'm going to share today, that are absolutely fantastic, doing a great job analyzing what is happening around the world. All right, so with all of that said, get some notes, be ready, brace yourselves. Some things just started to kick in, and we are going to be in for a wild ride this summer. Absolutely wild ride. And again, if you are not prepared, you've heard me say this again and again and again on the show. If you are not prepared, get prepared now. There are so many things that we can do to get prepared, just in case our enemies do decide to make a move in the world. Maybe supply chains are disrupted. Maybe we have some sort of a catastrophic failure in the electrical grid. You're ready for it. You're ready for it. Because our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ, and we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And we must also preach the gospel of the kingdom. Isaiah 61:1-4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners. And I'm going to stop there for a second. If we know what the enemy's plan is, we can proclaim and stop the enemy's plan. So today, as I'm talking, you're going to hear a lot about what the enemy's plan is, but we can still proclaim, we could stop this stuff if we just stand up now. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Okay, I'm going to do a short primer, so that we all are on the same sheet of music. This is, you can read a lot of this in the Rich Higgins Memorandum to the President of the United States. He wrote it in 2017, in May. And it really laid out what we're facing right now. So what we have seen yesterday, today, and really kind of over the weekend was the restarting of political warfare. Now, political warfare has different lines of effort. And I'm not just talking the agitation of Antifa, the infiltration and subversion by agent provocateurs of the left. I'm not talking about that stuff necessarily. What I'm talking about in the overarching effort is the narrative. So the overarching narrative is called the meta narrative. And what they are now rekindling is the meta-narrative of the Marxists. Now, this, again, anybody that is saying this is becoming, anybody that is using these narratives is becoming a tool of the Marxists, whether they know it or not. Doesn't matter. So there are people that some might think are just great folks and, you know, look past all of the stuff they do and their voting records, and they do these narratives, they use these narratives, they are part of the problem. They are tools of the Marxists, okay? So this Maoist insurgency model that you've heard me talk about on the show before has the narrative line of effort. And the meta-narrative essentially today is, if you were a Trump supporter, a patriot, you actually served your country, believe the Constitution means what it says, and believe the Bible means what it says, you are a domestic terrorist. That's what the meta-narrative is. Now, they tried to do this a couple of years ago. They tried to start this. They're rekindling this now. They worked it all the way to the election. Now, they're rekindling this. The other is that if you are a Trump supporter, patriot, believe the Constitution means what it says, you've served your country, believe the Bible means what it says, you are also, of necessity, a white supremacist. And the purpose of the meta-narrative is to bolster whatever political movement is being created by the Marxists in a particular country. So we're hearing this right now, this rekindling of the meta-narrative. And the purpose of the meta-narrative, besides creating and bolstering a political movement, is to discredit all those who are the target of the narrative, is to actually dehumanize them, make them lesser people, right? And so that's the meta-narrative. Now, the next thing that the Marxists use is called the supporting narrative. And so the supporting narrative is, you are a racist, you are a homophobe, you are an Islamophobe, you are a phobe, whatever. Okay, that's all part of the supporting narrative. Again, this is a very clear Marxist tactic. You can read about this. It's been used in many, many different countries. So this supporting narrative, again, supports the two meta-narratives, or three meta-narratives, depending on where you're at in the world. The purpose of the supporting narratives is, again, to give not objective facts, but subjective feeling support to the meta-narrative. Well, they must hate people. They hate the elderly. They hate this. They hate that, right? And it's all designed, again, to support these meta-narratives, which is to discredit leaders and discredit institutions of America, paint them in a terrible light so that people lose trust in the institutions. It creates chaos, which is what the Marxists call a revolutionary environment. And then people will, of course, ride in on the white horse of more government, more socialism, etc., to solve the problem. But they've created the problem. They're creating the revolutionary environment by doing this meta-narrative and the supporting narrative. Then you have the backdrop narrative. Backdrop narrative goes something like this. You know, we really know what President Trump did in that hotel room. We really know what President Trump did in his personal life. And we really know that, you know, he personally is just a bad guy. That's a backdrop narrative. We saw this happen locally with a couple friends of mine. The local county sheriff was a tool of the Marxists in putting this meta-narrative out, and also in putting these backdrop narratives and supporting narratives there as well. The interesting thing about this is it doesn't matter who is putting these things out there. What matters is who is telling them to put it out there. That's who people should be focusing on. Where is this coming from? Ultimately, political correctness and these meta-narratives are enforcement and control mechanisms of a population. You don't get the vaccine, you must be bad. Even though, to get the vaccine, candidly, and this may offend some people, but candidly, is asinine because of the survival rate and the huge huge problems with the vaccine that are now being publicly acknowledged. Incredible. So here's the other part of this, too. Who is telling them to do this? But then what media outlets, what leaders are making it a part of their campaigns to support these narratives? Because what they're doing is they're siding with the people that are trying to destroy America and trying to destroy the Republic. Okay, that is the primer on the narrative arcs. Arc being like the arc of an arrow flying through the air, right? An arc. These narrative arcs that they create, well, they have obviously this purpose, but they can also try to create narratives in someone's campaign. And I believe that's what's happening with President Trump. There are people in his inner circle that are trying to create a narrative arc in his campaign that can be attacked. I believe there's people that are around him that do not believe in him. In fact, they are there purposely to try to destroy him, as they were when he was active in his administration. And that's called a narrative arc attack. Okay, so that's the narrative side of this. All right, now let's go to the Daily Intelligence briefing and the international front. Okay, I want to start with Israel and a couple of other weird things that have happened. I want to start with Israel and Turkey because the Middle East is critical right now. So this coming to us from Debka File. Ankara, so the capital of Turkey, and Recep Erdogan, who believes he's going to be the next caliph, have acted to invoke the 2018 security pact that was signed with the Palestinian Authority chairman Mahmoud Abbas. On the same lines as Turkey's intervention in the Libyan conflict. So here's what this is. Turkey is invoking the pact that is similar to what they invoked as in regards to Libya, where they actually sent troops and tanks in. They have now invoked that in regards to the Palestinian Authority. Folks, Turkey is a NATO ally. We're going to get to more on NATO here in a second. Turkey is a NATO ally. They are basically saying they are going to drag NATO into the conflict with Israel. Very interesting. And we're going to keep our eyes on that. But why are America's enemies acting now? They're acting now because the pretender is so embarrassingly incompetent. And it's sad, actually, too. He's lost and bewildered on the international stage. And over the weekend during the G7 summit and later the NATO meeting, he looked completely bewildered. In fact, at one point, the British Prime Minister actually had to shush him twice because the pretender kept saying that another dignitary had not been announced when that dignitary had, and actually had to shush him like a five-year-old. And you can watch the video. It's just super embarrassing. America's enemies are watching this. They are totally emboldened right now. And this is explaining what happened over the weekend around the world and why America's enemies now are closing in around her and why the pretender is now actively working against America. Now, I'm going to say this again. The pretender is actively working against America. And it's not just because he's embarrassing on the international stage. That's part of it. But there's something that happened also over the weekend, and we're going to get to that here in a second, where they are, again, bringing this narrative arc up regarding patriots. Okay, so I'm going to start with a couple of things. Now, there's a new, fairly new, news outlet. It's called AND Magazine. AndMagazine.com. Former clandestine operator Sam Faddis helps run that. Absolutely incredible analysis and commentary. So we're going to start on the international front. And here it is. China is setting up a quote-unquote commercial fishing base in the Bahamas right next to what the Navy considers its Area 51. Now, as many of you have heard on the program before, the Chinese use their fishing fleet as an intelligence gathering entity. And the Chinese fishing fleets do not operate as normal commercial operations. They function as part of what is known as the maritime militia. And those ships are also armed and used to project Chinese power and force ships of other nations out of particular areas. So we know this. So right now, the Chinese are setting up a commercial fishing base right next to the Atlantic Undersea Test and Evaluation Center, or AUTEC, which is located on the Bahamian island of Andros, in immediate proximity to what is known the Tongue of the Ocean, or TOTO. In other words, this is a long, deep trench with a flat bottom that is a perfect test area for sonar and communication technologies. It's been there for 50 years. The Chinese are now setting up right there. Again, emboldened because of the pretender. All right, next. And I think also equally as disturbing, this coming to us from RT News. And I don't normally quote RT News, but they had the best outline of things that were going on. Ukraine gaining access to NATO's waiting room. And then Biden says it remains to be seen. So on June 14th, the Ukrainian president actually tweeted on this issue. So Vladimir Zelensky tweeted the following, that he commend NATO partners' understanding of all the risks and challenges we face. That's talking about Ukraine. NATO leaders confirmed that Ukraine will become a member of the alliance and an integral part of the membership process. Ukraine deserves due appreciation of its role in ensuring Euro-Atlantic security. Folks, this is tectonic. Now, immediately Biden said, oh, it remains to be seen whether they meet the actual membership requirements. Zelensky would not have tweeted that unless he had gotten it confirmed. And so Biden, again, embarrassing himself on the international stage. This is tectonic, and here's why. Vladimir Putin said that will not happen. And so war in Ukraine, the potential for it has just ratcheted up dramatically. All right. Also, and again, very, very, very interesting, on the international front, a Russian spy ship parks near Hawaii. So you got the Chinese on the East Coast, weird. Russians on the West Coast. This Russian spy ship parked near Hawaii and was reportedly parked there to try to thwart U.S. missile testing. Now, this article is coming to us from American Military News. And it delayed the Missile Defense Agency's missile test, according to the Honolulu Star Advertiser last Thursday. So you got the Russians on the West Coast. You got the Chinese on the East Coast. You've got the pretender failing abysmally at the national level. And more yet happening here at home, which we're going to talk about in a second. But still on the national front, Kyle Bass broke the story that the Chinese regime controls 200 square miles in Texas near a major Air Force base. A company with ties to the Chinese Communist Party, of course, owns 130,000 acres of land in Texas, right next to America's largest Air Force pilot training base. Huh. Now, if you don't understand Asian warfare strategy and you don't understand the history of Asian warfare, you will miss this very important fact. In Western armies, we carry our supply trains behind the army. In other words, we carry our gas, our food. We carry everything behind our armies. In the Asian method of fighting, they fight to their supply lines. So where you see them trying to establish these forward supply bases, they're giving a signal of where they intend eventually to go. And the CEO of this Chinese company, incidentally, is a former officer in the Chinese People's Liberation Army. Huh. So I'm going to be posting all of these things up on the Facebook and Gab pages. So please check it out. We just have so much going on. The last one, and very interestingly, this coming to us from InfoWars, Canadian Prime Minister told staff that Kamala will be president by 2022. So after this whole thing, now other world leaders are basically saying he's out, Kamala's going to be president by 2022. All right, now coming to the last thing on the international front. I told you a while back about this weird website called Deagle, Deagle.com, D-E-A-G-E-L. .com. It's coming to us from the SGT report. Deagle is now gone. Now, remember, I talked about this, that it had this weird statistic that in 2025, there would be this massive depopulation in the United States of America, and nobody could explain why, and it attracted a lot of attention. Now, Deagle is gone, wiped off the internet. What happened? Because it was the Western world that had this massive and dramatic depopulation in 2025. All right. Now on the national front, and part of this is Canada, so bear with me. Coming to us from LifeSide News, a Canadian pastor was tracked down by police helicopter and arrested for violating COVID rules. This is yet another pastor in Calgary, Alberta. Pastor Tim Stevens was arrested a second time by members of the Calgary police yesterday for allegedly breaking COVID-19 health rules, even though their prime minister at the G7 was violating those same rules. Okay, just I digress for a second. Previously, police had searched for and discovered the location of Stevens' underground church service last Sunday by using a helicopter. I want you to hear that again. Police had searched for and discovered the location of Stevens' underground church service last Sunday by using a helicopter that is reminiscent of the former Soviet Union and the Stasi in eastern Germany. So we're seeing this happen in Canada now. We need to give support to our Canadian pastor friends and neighbors. I'm going to be working on that over the next couple of weeks, and I'll have more information on that as we go forward. All right. Coming to us on the national front, Georgia Secretary of State Rhino Brad Raffensperger, coming to us from Big League Politics, suddenly admits there might be irregularities. And they are going to do an investigation. New revelations that Fulton County is unable to produce all ballot drop box transfer documents will be investigated thoroughly, as we have with other counties that failed to follow Georgia rules and regulations regarding drop boxes. This cannot continue. Interesting. So they don't have a chain of custody for the ballots. That's what they're saying. Also on the national front, coming to us from the New American, Biden announces national strategy for countering domestic terrorism, but only white domestic terrorism. So this is what I was mentioning at the beginning of the program. Instead of focusing on China and our other enemies, we now have the issue where he is literally focusing on the narrative arc of the Marxists against patriots. That, like, they want to use the full weight of the federal government against a non-threat. Something they've invented out of thin air, something that is a narrative arc to try to destroy this country. This quote from the pretender and his administration: terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland today. I'm totally ignoring Hamas, totally ignoring China, totally ignoring the other Marxists and jihadists in this country. Okay. The plan includes $100 million for the Department of Justice, the FBI, and Department of Homeland Security for analysts, investigators, and prosecutors. And they want to go through the entire military and law enforcement apparatus at the federal level and try and root out anybody they think is a white supremacist, which means they're coming after patriots in an even more egregious purge. All right, back on elections. Coming to us from Arizona, the state attorney general down there warned federal agents and just the feds in general from interfering with the election audit. There's a lot of rumor and rumbling coming out of there. I'm going to wait on that one. But the fact of the matter is, right now, we have a lot happening under the surface. And again, this is because they realize the pretender is failing miserably, and they have to gin this back up. So what they're essentially signaling is there will be more unrest in America over the summer, even more than we've seen. They're going to target patriots for purge out of the federal government positions and probably some state governments. That's already happening. And essentially, they're going to ignore our foreign enemies. In fact, they're going to embolden our foreign enemies against the United States of America. Some might call that a perfect storm. On the regional front, last thing. Joe Kent, veteran, I believe a special forces officer, actually, has announced in the primary against Jamie Herrera Butler. And it's about time. Jamie Herrera Butler, a rhino who turned her back on our country here last year and earlier this year, now has to face off with somebody who knows how to fight irregular warfare in the political realm. So Joe Kent for Congress, take a look at that webpage. That's pretty interesting development in the news regionally. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for us. Remember, you can go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends. Also, Patriot Radio is on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. All right. It is my honor once again to introduce Major General retired Paul Vallely. He is the founder and CEO of Stand Up America US Foundation. General Vallely, it's always great to have you on the show. How are you doing? And it looks like we don't have him yet anyways. I'm not getting anything. So
I hear you.
All right, we're going to continue. I've got a few things I didn't even get to today. One of those things on the regional front comes to us from AND Magazine. Again, check this out. AND Magazine, Sam Faddis, doing a fantastic job calling out the real threats to the country, the real threats we face, if you will. In the first installment of his series on this issue, he talked about a train derailment that happened here actually in Washington State on December 22nd, 2020, near the town of Custer, Washington, north of Seattle. The incident resulted in the derailment of 10 cars in a train carrying highly volatile Bakken crude oil. In fact, everyone within a half mile of the resulting fire was evacuated while they dealt with the blaze. Now, here is the key. The intent of this attack was not to cause a fire in the woods. It was almost certainly to take out a major U.S. oil refinery. Well, it sounds like General Vallely can hear me, but I cannot hear him. So,
can you hear me, Matt? Can you hear me?
I don't know why we cannot hear him back.
I hear you loud and clear.
All right. Well, we'll keep trying to work through this.
Hello.
Looks good on my end. So.
Hello.
All right. Again, this commentary by AND Magazine, Sam Faddis talked about how the intent of this derailment in Custer, Washington, on December 22nd, 2020, results in possibly the taking out of a major U.S. oil refinery. So that was probably the intent. Because at the time of the derailment, the train in question was headed to All right, I'm getting a whole bunch of messages from our listeners. It looks like that the general can hear me, like he's on the radio right now. I cannot hear him, and I've looked at everything on here. We should be good all the way through. So, Joe, I don't know if you can hear me right now, but I cannot hear him back through the feed.
I hear you, Matt. I hear you, Matt.
He's there.
Hello. Hello, Matt. I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Matt. Still not hearing him.
Matt, can you hear me?
Hello? Yes, I hear you. Hello, hello.
Oh.
All right. I'm just going to keep going with this until we get this kind of figured out. So everything on
hello,
my
Matt.
And Joe is looking good.
Hello, Matt. Yeah, are you there?
And I cannot, if you're trying to talk to me either, I cannot hear you. So there's something that, something with the feedback. All right. Again, this derailment consisted of over 100 cars carrying Bakken crude. It was headed toward the Phillips 66 refinery in Ferndale, Washington. And after a stop for a crew change during that time, it appears that's when the sabotage occurred. The train was rolling the last few miles into the refinery when the derailment actually happened. So, clearly this looks like an attempt not just to derail a train, but an attempt to shut down a refinery. All right, second part of this, also coming to us from Man Magazine. Colonial Pipeline hackers ransomed an additional 24 companies. So, what we know now is 24 more unnamed companies were also affected in the ransomware attacks that caused the closure of U.S. Colonial Pipeline, which created a shortage of fuel in some states. So what we see now developing is a very clear attack on our fossil fuel infrastructure, which, again, part of the Marxist narrative, part of the Marxist strategy to demonize fossil fuels with a narrative and try to end the fossil fuel industry, because what that will do is make America weak. So I am, all right, just a second. Yeah, I'm not sure why I cannot hear the general. So he can hear me. Oh, there he is. I got you. General Valley, can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you.
All right. Sorry about that. I don't know why we weren't getting the feedback this way, but welcome to Patriot Radio as always. And I just kind of want to jump right into it. A lot happening. The Pretender over the weekend was an absolute disaster. What is your take and what is your analysis on his trip over to the G7 and NATO?
Well, I think the way his staff mapped it out for him that they wanted to have limited exposure as far as what he could say and what he should say. So he was very controlled in that environment, but they have to do that with him because he really will go sideways on an issue and try to ad lib, and he usually goes off the rails. And I think this is due as well, I'll say, his diminished capacity. But he tried to present himself as the good old guy. I'm back. America's back. Here I am. I'll get along with you guys. You get along with me, and we'll have a good time, and we'll end up spending all America's money again. So there you go.
Well, I saw the incident with him and the Prime Minister of England, where the Prime Minister of England basically shushed him twice, and it was so embarrassing. And people are, world leaders in particular, are seeing this. America just looks weak with this guy at the helm.
Well, we know he's weak. We've known that for quite a while. It's no surprise, Matt, and it shouldn't be surprised to the other leaders because they've seen him in action over the years as a senator. So from that, and of course, when he was vice president, so they've all witnessed that. But see, the Europeans like that. buddy, buddy, don't raise any issues. No, don't create any problems. Let's all just get along. And that's what it was. But Trump wouldn't put up with that. And he positioned himself as a very strong leader. And they didn't know how to handle it, really, over there. And Boris Johnson, I'm not sure where that guy's coming from, other than he's a new hairdo.
I completely agree with you on that. Absolutely. Well, let's switch to China right now. The Atlantic Undersea Test and Evaluation Center, which is located in the Bahamas, all of a sudden now the Chinese want to put a commercial fishing base right near it. Clearly, the Chinese are attempting to encircle the United States. They're very clear in their strategies and what they're trying to do and to make us weak while they begin to take territory in their region. What are you hearing as far as the Chinese threat is concerned in regards to not only America, but also our partners in Asia?
Well, I think, Matt, what a lot of people don't realize is the relationship that the Chinese Communist Party have with the Sinaloa cartels, particularly in the movement of drugs, fentanyl in particular. When we look at the North, the influence in Canada, which I have really become aware of in the last few months, the amount of land and by bankrupt corporations Chinese are buying in Canada, and it's billions and billions of dollars that is coming through Vancouver out of Shanghai. So we have a training mission going on with Canadian Armed Forces and the Chinese, and that's been an ongoing relationship. So they're surrounding us. They're inside the wire, as we call it, in the United States. Their influence in the halls of Congress, on Wall Street, in Silicon Valley. They are aggressive. They're smart. But their mission is to dominate the world, the global superpower, the solo global superpower.
Now, almost a year ago, we talked on the radio about how COVID very likely came from China. Very clear. Now you have been vindicated very clearly. What are we looking at over the next few months as far as the Chinese are concerned? And then I would like to get your take on what can we do about the Sinaloa cartel and its alliance with China and how it's being used to actually weaken America, especially through the southern border.
What was the first part of the question, Matt?
The first part of the question was in regards to, so COVID-19, we've been vindicated now that what its origin was. What can we expect over the next 3-4 months from the Chinese? Are they going to actually make a move because they perceive American weakness?
Well, I think they're going to continue to make a move geographically along the Silk Belt into the Middle East, into Europe, strengthening their position in Canada, as well as with the cartels. With that in mind, they're ramping up their space capability, developing the technology that launch satellites, which will have nuclear weapons embedded within that satellite that they can actually do what we call electromagnetic pulse nuclear attack anywhere around the world, particularly targeting the United States and our major centers of influence, which would be like Washington, D.C., New York, and so on. And so they're developing their military. They're continuing to threaten Taiwan to take it over, to make it a one China, which would include all of China plus Taiwan. They're very aggressive with their fleets. They continue to do advanced research and development and new weapon systems, new armaments, new munitions. But I can tell you the South Koreans, the Japanese, the Taiwanese, the Thais, as well as India on their border, are carefully watching every move that China makes. And I think they're going to continue to develop more COVID type of viruses.
So these would be viruses aimed at specific ethnic populations throughout the world to weaken those populations.
We understand the research is going on in that area, yes. I'm happy you mentioned that.
I want to talk quickly about the Sinaloa cartel. How do we break this alliance with China? They're obviously using them to weaken America through our southern border, among other places, actually. What is a plan that we could actually go forward with to stop what's happening at our southern border, and especially with that cartel?
Well, that's a great question. I had a conference call with one of the mayors on the border, Don McLaughlin, last week. The plan that I submitted to Trump was how to neutralize the cartels and take them out of action. Trump administration did a little bit, but in my plan that is now in Governor Abbott's office, and I'll tell you the two questions I've asked Governor Abbott to ask of the Defense Department, but certainly we cannot play defense anymore. The cartels are a militarized force. They have weapon systems, they have drones, they have helicopters. They're fully militarized, even above beyond the capability of the regional Mexican armed forces. So I've asked Governor Abbott and other governors to ask the question of the federal government. Number one, what plans do you have to neutralize a real threat to America, which are the cartels out of the Sinaloa tri-regional area down there? What is your plan? What is your strategy? What are your tactics? I think the question will probably, we have none. So I say, okay, if the question is no, we don't have a plan to neutralize the cartels, a real enemy, then what are you going to develop? What tactics and strategy are you going to have, and what can you implement within the next 90 days? The cartels are responsible for killing more Americans over the last 20 years than we've lost in the Middle East. Think about that.
It's incredible. That is incredible.
So those are the questions I've posed to Washington. Do you have a plan? If you don't, you need a plan. We demand a plan to protect America, to protect our borders, protect our economy, everything that's being threatened by the cartels down there. And we want it done quickly. We want, because I can tell you, my plan I developed, I can take down the cartels in 7 days, neutralize them completely in 7 days with special operations forces.
And that would be exactly the way to do it. What is the response from the White House is predictable, so we don't even need to talk about that as much as, right. Are there some state governments that are willing to step up now?
Well, Governor Abbott is. They're continuing to build the wall down there. But again, like I told him, that's good, but that's defense. We can't win this thing playing defense anymore. We've got to go on the offense. And that's why I want them to put in a 20-kilometer no-go zone down south of the border. Well, you know, some people came back, Matt, and they said, well, that's a cross-border operation. I said, well, what do you think we did in Vietnam? What do you think we did in Syria, in Afghanistan, in Iraq? Cross-border operation. You tell me we got a violent force that's destroying America from our south and we can't take military action against us? Give me a break.
Yeah,
do we have the courage to do it, Matt? That's the question. Do we have the courage to do it? But I want to know what the Defense Department, we pay the Defense Department, all those generals and admirals, to protect America. That's what we pay them for. I want to know the plans you have for taking down this real enemy.
Well, we heard, General, that the real enemy was white supremacists and patriots who are domestic terrorists in America. I mean, that's what we just heard over the weekend. And it's just this complete divorcing of reality that it has to be intentional. They cannot be that stupid. What is your take on that part of it, where they're focusing on a thing that isn't even a threat? It's a made-up meta-narrative from the mainstream media.
How can these educated people be so smart yet so dumb? That's the question I have. How can these educated people be so dumb? And they are. And they're not brave people today. We don't have brave people leading us today. We need warriors out there leading us. That's why we put together the 120 generals and admirals that are retired and in our letter a month ago demanding that we get back to following our Constitution, and these people who have taken an oath to protect and secure America do it. Then we came out 2 weeks ago with a civilian action plan that we advise all local counties and states to take in order to save the Republic. And that's on the Internet. You can Google that.
And I'll go ahead and post that up on the Facebook page after the show. I want to talk, too, about this purge that's happening in the U.S. military right now and in federal law enforcement agencies as well. What are you hearing about that?
Well, they want to purge white Whig extremists, and they brought in this guy, Bishop, who was a West Point graduate, by the way. And he's the one that's pushing the critical race theory being taught in part of our training programs in all of our units in the military. And that's one of the reasons we wrote the letter as well from the retired generals. And General Gordon Austin, another West Point graduate, we understand, he just does what he's told. But they did have 2 4-stars stand up and say, listen, we don't have any extremism in our units. They're not there. We take care of that at the command level. We're trained to do that. We have dedicated soldiers and airmen and Navy sailors, and they're doing their job. We don't need to take away time, ridiculous time, on this and teaching critical race theory, which is a racist theory unto itself. So we're holding these generals and admirals to their toes of the fire because they need to do their job, and they're not doing it as far as I'm concerned.
Well, there's no question. Otherwise, our enemies wouldn't be circling around us right now like vultures. I want to talk too about Trump. Is it possible that Trump could come back? I've heard a lot of this. I personally am very skeptical. Heard a lot of this over the last few weeks that Trump could come back if they do, in fact, conclusively prove election fraud. What is your take on that, and what are you hearing on that issue?
Well, I think, number one, we are going to definitely prove election fraud in 6 states. The question is it in the Constitution for the Supreme Court or other courts or even the state legislatures to take action to reinstate President Trump? We've not been through this before. This is new to America. And so they're searching now because we know the 6 states and probably more states, even Montana, elections were overturned. Chinese influence, Chinese Dominion voting machines. Yes, that's all going to be validated. But the big question is then, what are we going to do about it? I don't know what Trump can do about it. My feeling is there's 2 possibilities. He will run again in 2024, or he'll be a kingmaker and probably put Rob DeSantis from Florida in as the primary presidential contender. That's another scenario.
Mm. And DeSantis has been doing a lot of good things down there in Florida right now. Over the next few months, what can we do as Americans to fight back against all this stuff? I mean, obviously, most Americans are like, what can I possibly do about the influence of China? What can I do about the influence of the cartels? What do we do right now? Because a lot of Americans feel like we just need to sit back and trust a plan or something like that, when in fact we should be out there and getting involved.
Well, the feedback I'm getting is the American people are looking for leadership. And the only place they can find it is in the retired generals and admirals. They can't find it in their politicians. They can't find it in their corporate leaders. So it's up to the retired generals and admirals really to lead the change and to save the republic. That's why we put out a civilian action plan and published that 2 weeks ago. And that tells you what to do at the state level, at the local level, the school districts, the commissioners in the county. A lot of it's going to be involving what's done at the state and local levels to turn this thing around. People have to stand up and don't tolerate this critical race theory and what's being taught, attempted to be taught in our schools. And we see now many mothers have stood up in these different school districts and said, we're not going to do that. You work for us. We don't work for you. And we don't want our children being taught all of this racial crap. And so, part of America is standing up, but our civilian action plan really points to it being at the grassroots level to turn this around.
This is, I think, the most important part of the conversation. It is going to be at the local level, and it's not going to just be in Montana or Washington. This has to happen throughout the entire country, in the city, in the country. It doesn't matter, throughout the entire country. There are a lot of military veterans out there who are going in RVs, and they're going on vacation on the weekends. They're having a great time. But really, there's kind of a call to all of them right now to come back into this to help save the republic. Can you talk about where they can go to get more information, where they can go to get involved and connected, and where they can go to get their sources of news so they're actually getting the truth instead of from the mainstream media?
Well, the best is through the Stand Up America U.S. Foundation. They can go to our website, standupamericaus.org, our newsletter, what we publish on there, the different radio interviews that many of our members have. We have a China team. We have a Canadian team. We have the development of the Patriot Guards around America, which is the people in your local community standing up to support the sheriffs or the local police against Antifa, BLM. So that's the stuff you have to do at the local level. And they can find all that on our website.
That's excellent. General Vallely, in the last couple minutes that we have left, young people that have never really gone out into the world, don't have a lot of life experience, though, but they know something's wrong. What would be your message to them tonight in America? Because there are a lot that I run into. They're searching for the truth. They just don't. They've been lied to most of their life. What would be your message to them?
Well, the best thing for our high schoolers and the college is join Turning Point USA with Charlie Kirk. That's TPUSA. Go to that website. Join Charlie. Be one of his ambassadors on the campuses, the high school campuses. Stand up for the Constitution. Stand up for the rights of America to own arms, First and Second Amendment. That's the way they can participate. But Charlie's doing a great job. They just had a young woman's forum over the weekend. I believe it was in Dallas, Texas, but I'm not sure. But I'm on the board of Turning Point, and I can tell you that's the best place for young people to go. Join Charlie.
Join Charlie, and even if they don't actually go to one of the seminars or one of the camps or one of the conferences, they can at least get educated on what is really happening out there. And I think Charlie has actually laid that out very, very well in succinct, clear, objective ways. So I totally agree with you. Major General Paul Vallely, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Really appreciate your analysis, and please keep up the fight. And if there's anything we can do to help here out of Spokane, Washington, please let us know.
Okay, Matt, thank you. You're a great friend. You're a great patriot. Proud of what you're doing.
All right. Blessings. And Major General Paul Vallely, Stand Up America U.S. Foundation, standupamericaus.org, standupamericaus.org. I'm going to post those things up online right now. And as you heard, we were having a little bit of the technical difficulty. One of the other places, too, to get news today, andmagazine.com, Sam Faddis, former clandestine operations officer with the CIA. Excellent, excellent analysis and commentary on some of the things that are going on in America, and especially in regards to what happened here in the Puget Sound with these anarchists and leftists attacking a rail line, what their real goal was, and that was to try to shut down a refinery that produces gasoline, diesel, and fuel oil. Most of its production going to markets in the Northwest United States. Now, just to put this into perspective, that one facility closing would have the effect of shutting down 100,000 barrels of crude oil a day. That's how much that facility processes about. Incredible. So, if you missed the first part of the show, go back. We're going to make sure this gets up quickly on Podbean. Go back and listen to it. I covered a whole ton of stuff going on. You have China, which is trying to encircle the United States, specifically trying to put a new commercial fishing base right next to a naval testing center in the Bahamas. You have the Chinese in a partnership, an alliance with the Sinaloa cartel coming up through the southern border. You have the Chinese in the Pacific, and particularly angling for territory down the Silk Road and for territory immediately close to it, like Taiwan. You have the Russians trying to disrupt U.S. missile tests off Hawaii. You've got the president of Ukraine tweeting that NATO has confirmed that Ukraine will become a member. And obviously, Putin has said very clearly that will not happen. So tension massively escalating there. And all in the middle of this is a bewildered, weak, seemingly disoriented pretender. And now we have this report from InfoWars that I mentioned that I thought was absolutely fascinating, where sources close to the Canadian prime minister are saying that Kamala Harris will be the president by 2022. Canadian PM told staff Kamala will be president by 2022. Did everybody hear that? You can read that article again on InfoWars. Lastly, want to call attention to an article that is on Stand Up America US. It's at the very top right now. And again, I'm going to post these all on Facebook and Gab, but make sure you get Gab. Go to Gab, set up an account, follow me. I'm going to have a Patriot Radio site there too, but just follow my main site because I post everything there. A Georgia poll worker confessed under oath that 10 to 20,000 Biden absentee ballots they counted were fake. This coming to us again from standupamericaus.org. So as General Valley said, there is a very clear likelihood that election fraud will be proven in at least six states, maybe more. What happens then? Well, the answer for all of us as Americans is we need to be prepared, and we need to prepare right now. And it begins with us standing up at the local level. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.